And you're listening to Radio Lifestyle. Welcome to this new program about music called Music Life, in which we're going to interview interesting musicians based in Madrid and all over the world by having a conversation about music with them. My first guest today is Gareth Waugh, an Irish singer-songwriter based in Madrid. He has been releasing music since 1995 when he debuted with All of the Above. However, his main musical output since 2007 is with the band Track Dogs, and also he released music under the other artist's name, like Little Lion and Looking at Joe.
Okay,
how you doing? How
are you doing? I'm doing fine. I'm a musician as well. Okay, so it's a pleasure to talk to you because I love to talk about music.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good to talk about music.
Excellent.
And for me, just this kind of a kind of conversation, really. I don't like to call it interview. It's just to have a chat, really, okay, with you, okay?
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Perfect.
And you're the first guest. So it's
that's an honor.
Yeah, probably it's an honor, yeah. It's an honor for me as well, okay? So, okay. Thanks very much for your time, first of all, okay? Thanks
oh, my much. Pleasure. My pleasure.
Okay, so my first question is really when I just do some research about your career. And you have many different, like, artist names, okay? One is Gareth, but you have Little Lion and you have Track Dogs. So what's the difference? Or are you different in different projects or...?
Yeah, well, I mean, I started off with my own name, obviously, back in the 90s in Ireland. I was a sort of, you know, singer-songwriter, you know, with a band. And I guess, you know, so I recorded all my first music under the name Gareth Waugh or Gareth Waugh Band. So there's a lot of material out there with, you know, with that as my artistic name, which is my own name. But when I formed the band Track Dogs, we initially were called Gareth Waugh Band. But I didn't want that. I wanted to differentiate from what I had done before. And I felt that this was a band. It wasn't a singer-songwriter with musicians. It was very much a band. And it's become even more of a band over time. So it took us two albums to find the name Track Dogs.
And your sound, so we changed, I suppose. A proper sound.
Yeah, I mean, it took us time to find that. We've been looking for our sound right up to now. We're 15 years together next year. So it's only in the last couple of years we've really developed what we call our sound. But Little Lion, as another project, was really just an avenue for music that I was writing that I thought was very suited to maybe a soundtrack for movies or for TV. And I wanted to also differentiate that from what I had done with Track Dogs or Gareth Waugh. So it's kind of like wearing different hats. If I feel something is very Track Dogs, great. If I feel it's more Little Lion, I will do it that way. And then Gareth Waugh is maybe what I would like when I collaborate with people doing sort of maybe collaboration for movies or for TV. I use my own name. I have a song that's.
So is it very different? I mean, if we hear or we listen to Track Dogs or Gareth or Little Lion, I mean. In terms of music.
Yeah, I mean, Little Lion would be a little bit more indie. Little Lion is a little bit more sort of like experimental. I do a lot of electronic mixed with sort of indie. It's not a huge difference to Track Dogs, but it's a little bit more quirky, maybe a little bit more indulgent in that sense, you know? And whereas Track Dogs is very much about the band, about each instrument, about each person, and it's very also very focused on the live performance, whereas Little Lion would be more about production and that kind of thing. But it's great. I mean, I to be able to have different avenues for my music is always great, you know.
Yeah, because you can combine them
Yeah.
I can have multiple personality syndrome.
Yeah, that's good. That's always good. Well, the second question is a little bit obvious, just a little bit of context, because if you can tell us about your decision of leaving Ireland and coming to Spain, how you started your musical career, or how was that decision really, that to leave Ireland and go to Spain?
Okay, well, it's interesting because I had sort of developed quite a career, I guess, in Ireland. I was very busy. I was gigging with a band over there. I was doing a lot of session work as a singer, and that kind of thing on television. But Ireland's a very small country, and it's easy to get burnt out. It's easy to kind of feel that the walls are closing in, and there's no way out. It's kind of, musically speaking, there's a lot of artists in Ireland who are restricted by being there physically. So that was one of the reasons why I needed a change. So when I came to Spain, it was for personal reasons, not for career reasons. And I actually had intended on totally changing my career, maybe getting into a normal job, let's say. And I started teaching English here and just looking for ways to discover myself again. But thankfully, and by pure luck, I ended up getting into the world of locución and singing for jingles, so singing for ads on television, and that led to work in soundtrack work, and then eventually led to voiceover work.
Yeah, talking about music again and about track dogs, and I would like to a couple of questions here, is like the instruments, because you use, for example, a cajon and the trumpet, I think. How did that instrument really appear and come to you?
Well, it's funny because, I met the guys and we were working, you know, early on when I met them back in 2005, 2006, we were, you know, I had played a few gigs, but it wasn't till I was offered an opportunity to support an Irish band called Kila, who are Irish traditional in Madrid. And I happened to bump into Howard, who plays the trumpet. I bumped into him on the metro and we had never played together before. And I said, hey, do you want to come play a gig? And he was like, yeah, great. So it was cajon, trumpet and me. And I loved the sound of the cajon with the trumpet, with the guitar. I just felt it was very fresh, there was a lot of space there, because one thing I always found difficult was playing with drummers and electric guitarists, because there was no room, there was no space left. Yeah.
And another, for me, another instrument is the voice as well. So I liked your voice a lot, because I think it's...
Oh, good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And but how could you define your voice?
Well, when I first started singing back in the 90s, I was doing a lot of falsetto, very high, typical kind of Jeff Buckley type stuff, you know. And that would have been... I was lucky to have quite a big range. But as I got older, I found using my lower registers were more interesting. So I stopped. Mm-hmm. And also the falsetto was
changed.
Very difficult.
Your voice changed throughout the years?
Yeah, definitely. And it's gotten better. It's gotten a little bit more. There's a little
it's
bit
getting
more
lower.
It's getting lower, but not so much lower, but I think it's got more character. And I've learned how to control.
More mature.
And doing the work in advertising and jingles has been a good way to train it, because I've had to sing so many different styles of music that you learn where your voice sounds best and where you can control it the best. Also, it's very important live, because if you lose your voice when you're touring, that's no good. So if you learn to use your voice properly in a live concert for 2 hours, five nights a week, that's where you, and if you can keep your voice and not lose it.
Yeah. Where do you normally tour apart from Spain?
Well, we're touring mainly in the UK. Mm-hmm. We've spent the last couple of years really building our reputation in the UK, and we go to Ireland as well. We have a tour in Ireland in December, hopefully, but mainly UK, Ireland and Spain. But we're hoping to branch out into Europe as well. But I feel that the UK market is so strong and so big, or at least it was before COVID, that there's an awful lot there that we can still do. And I think it's, you know, we feel if we can crack the UK, it'll help us, you know, crack America or more places in Europe.
And how did the coronavirus affect your projects?
Well, quite a lot, because we've already had to cancel 3 or 4 trips to the UK. We were supposed to be there in March and April and May and June. And in fact, almost every month we had planned to go to the UK for either a festival or a few gigs. And so all of that's been cancelled now till September. And obviously that's income as well. So we've no income except from selling CDs or T-shirts or whatever. So that's made it difficult. And we're not even sure still whether we can go in September or...
Have you found any other alternative? While you're waiting for September?
Well, we're writing a lot of songs. We've been working on new material. We're doing an online concert as well, a ticketed concert. We figure it's, you know, people won't mind maybe paying a few quid to watch you play live when it's the full band together. So we're doing that as well. And so that's really the only alternative, or to try and sell merchandise.
Yeah, let's move to other things that you have done, because apart from music, yeah, you said La Locución and stuff like that. But you started the Eurovision, really, but you won, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying earlier about I worked as a vocalist, a session singer in Ireland. Mm-hmm. I used to do a lot of work on television where they would bring in an artist who would need a backing singer or even somebody to mime. I mean, sometimes you didn't even sing live. But the Eurovision was thanks to... I was playing in piano bars back in Dublin, you know, when I was in university. I was playing piano bars at the weekend, doing, you know, the typical Elton John, Billy Joel, all that kind of stuff. And some of the singers I got to know presented for the Eurovision. So one of the girls in particular, Linda Martin, was quite a well-known singer. And she invited me to sing backing vocals for her Eurovision entry. And she went on to win. That was in 1992. She won the Eurovision in Sweden. So we had the Eurovision in Ireland the following year because we had won in Sweden. And for that year, another friend of mine, Niamh Kavna, who is an amazing singer, and she's actually very well known for singing on the Commitments soundtrack. She does a lot of the powerful soul singing, Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide. She sang those. And she asked me to sing for her. So I did backing vocals for her, and she won the Eurovision in 1993. So I was backing vocalist for two winners in a row.
Winners. Do you remember any of the melodies of the lyrics to the songs, or you forgot?
Oh no! Well, the one I prefer, the 1993, was Your Eyes, and I used to sing very high, so it was like Your Eyes, I see the light, holding me out again, heaven in your eyes. Well, I can't remember it now, but anyway, it was it's a bit early, nice. A bit early in the morning to be singing.
Absolutely. And what do you think about the contest, the revision now in 2020? I mean, what's your opinion about the contest?
I loved the Iceland entry this year. I thought that was the best thing, you know, thinking about, Think About Things. I don't know if you've heard that, but it's an absolutely brilliant song. And funnily enough, he would have won the Eurovision this year. I hardly ever watch the Eurovision now because I think I've lost interest musically, and I was never really interested in it. It was fun to do for what it was, but you know, it also has a little bit of taboo associated with it. So it was a little bit frustrating for me because having sung in the Eurovision, it didn't help me when I was doing my own thing in Ireland. People were a little bit disparaging about that. So the Eurovision, in one sense, is, I think, I know a lot of people who've gone on to sing in the Eurovision as a performer, a lead singer, and I think it's the worst thing you can do for your career, unfortunately. I don't think it helps long term.
I agree with that. Well, but apart from Eurovision, well, you have many, many other things. For example, you work with Amenábar. What did you do with him?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I do, because I do a lot of ADR work, which is audiovisual, are doing the sort of voices, voiceover stuff. And I worked with Amenábar on a couple of his movies where he needed extra voices. And it was amazing because, you know, you're there in a room watching the big screen and Amenábar is directing you to, even if you're not in the movie, you're still working with this amazing director. Yeah. And he's asking you to put in sample lines that he will then later redo with the actual actor. So I was doing lines for Ethan Hawke, who would then later re-record those lines for the final version of the movie. So the great thing about voiceover work is it's so varied. It's never boring. You never know what's going to come up the next day and things like that. So yeah, it's...
So you have a little experience, quite, really, with your voice, with advertisements as well, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I've been lucky to work with lots of different actors, like Nacho Vigalondo. I always say his name wrong. He's another Spanish director I worked with on a couple of his movies. And I did, like, sort of, as you say, like, you know, you're dubbing an actor's voice to have better English or whatever. And it's amazing to work with these people. Like, I've even to work on things like documentaries or advertising or corporate videos.
Yeah, even Pocoyo, no? I read something Pocoyo, the cartoons.
Yeah.
The music?
I sang on the second series of Pocoyo, I sang 52 songs for each episode of the series.
And another collaboration that's an interesting one is that you taught Rafael how to pronounce English. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Well, they called me to work on his album that he did a good few years ago. And it was a collaboration he was doing with the model, an English model.
Caprice.
And they were doing the song Lessons in Love. Yeah. So he had the...
Level 42 song, no? It's a level 42
song.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So he had this big book. And he'd ask me to say the line, so like lessons in love, and he'd go lessons in love. So he'd write it out in his kind of phonetic way,
Even in Spanish, it's very very personal, no? The way he sings. So I'm.
He's a character, but funnily enough, he wouldn't. When I said come with the Emma, I said Garrett, and he goes too difficult. I'll call you Manchester, and I'm like okay. So he's. Call me Manchester, although I was like, well, call me Dublin at least, because I'm from Ireland.
You know? Yeah. Okay, Garrett, tell us something about your latest release with Track Dogs.
Sure, yeah. At a time like this, it's funny because it's one of the three or four songs I wrote during the lockdown period. And I had no intention of releasing anything, but a friend of mine sort of said, well, why don't you do a video for that? And I'll put something together with images of people from around the world. So he kind of challenged me, and I went, okay, well, I'll record it. So I recorded at home, which was the first time I'd ever done that. And then each of the members of the band recorded something in their houses, and some of them only had mobile phones to work with. Mm-hmm. And then we invited two friends of ours from the UK to record cello and violin. So we put it all together. German did the mix. Peter, who's in Australia, did the video. And we released it 2 weeks ago, and it's been on the national playlist in Ireland for 2 weeks, which is amazing. And it's been getting airplay in the BBC in the UK. It's been on Radio 3 here. Mm. So I mean, it's amazing. That's definitely unexpected to get all of, you know, for that to happen. Yeah.
So it's based. It's what the song is based on the lockdown experience somehow or not?
Yeah. It's a kind of it's about this new normal. I mean, how do we relate to the people that we love the most? How do we be there for them? Because a lot of people haven't even spent as much time with their families as they have done over the last few months. And it's not just about saying, I love you. It's how do you say it? How do you behave? And that's important. You know, how do we protect our loved ones and in new ways, you know? So it's kind of a bit about that. Yeah. The experience.
You're very generous. Thank you very much for your time.
My
because
pleasure.
I think we've covered many many different aspects. I like talking about music, but I understand that you have much more to offer. I mean, from the Rafael and the Menabar thing and Pocoyo, things like that. Eurovision as well. So maybe you are tired of the same question all over again.
No. I mean, I always like to talk about stuff. It's fun, you know, and it's good memories as well.
Yeah. Any future? Anyway. What are the future plans? The near future plans for Track
Well, Dogs? I mean, we're going to try and hopefully do some gigs before the end of the year. We have, and then in 2021, we're going to be celebrating 15 years together. And I think we've got a very extensive tour in the UK of about 30 concerts. So that's going to be quite challenging. But we have a good next year is going to be very busy, and I'm hoping that we can actually do it.
Celebrating your anniversary.
Yeah, yeah. So that's exciting. Yeah, yeah. Looking forward to that if it all goes well.
Yeah, let's see that if next year is going to be better than this one, definitely, in terms of gigs.
Fingers crossed.
Music. Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Garrett, to have you
here.
Thank
you very much.
Thanks Likewise. Very much for being the first guest in this program, okay?
Well, it's an honor to be the first guest. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and good luck for the future. Thanks very much.
Hi, this is Garrett Wall here from the band Track Dogs. And I'd like to say hello to all the listeners of Music Life. And I want to wish you all the best with this new program. I think it's fantastic.
How do I tell you I love you at a time like this? How do I hold you and keep you safe at a time like this? How does anyone see the light and make it through the night? How do I help you to feel alright at a time like this? So just come and hold me tight at a time like this. How does anyone make sense of in a world like this? How do I shelter you from the rain at a time like this? Give you hope and share your pain at a time like this.